begin the service this morning with something from something special from here in Dallas, and Dr. Donald Curtis's words. I'd like to share one of his master meditations for July. I have a wonderful Barbara Cole and Carol Hayes to accompany me, and we'll center in on this idea that Dr. Curtis has shared for meditation, and we'll take that into a bit of a rhythm and vibrational experience with the gongs. I invite you just to rest there and enjoy the support of your chair beneath you. You can uncross your hands and legs and just rest in this sound and let the ideas marinate just a bit. We shall begin. My prayer today is to realize the infinite potential of my life. There is that within me which is greater than that which is in the world. There is that within me which goes before me, making the crooked places straight. In my oneness and in my wholeness, the energy of that spirit surrounds me, blesses me, heals, sustains, and maintains me in the consciousness of abundant life. I am a living expression of God. I live life wholly today. Health is abounding in me. Life is in free, full flow through me. I experience perfect circulation in my mind, in my heart, in my soul, and in my body. I experience perfect health in every part of my being. I am whole because I am expressing the holiness, the oneness, the completeness, the perfection which is God. I am realizing my full potential now. We give thanks for this moment. So I invite you to gently return your sight to the highest and best. The mind and body renewed. We come to this time of seeking evidence of self from our highest state. Thank you, ladies. This has been my drive for my life, is finding evidence of self. Maybe like yourself, I had these ideas of who I was. I had parents that did a really awesome job of teaching me where boundaries were, what was appropriate in our community and in our church, what was okay at school, but we could do a little different at home because it wasn't quite the same. Yeah. There's a lot of these ideas that seemed different depending on where I went, and I couldn't understand it because I thought that the point of being alive was to be myself. That's why I was born, and I got slapped with the label of a name, and it called me, and here you go. You're here. So I couldn't understand why I needed to behave this way over here, and I needed to behave this way over here, or I wouldn't be accepted, and these kinds of things. And I ended up finding out kind of in the hard way. I had to face some those dreaded consequences of life. And I got to have some time on my hands to really think about that. And it continued just to add fuel to the fire, though. Because I knew there had to be some self, whatever that might have been. And it had to be something that was a little more consistent than my attitude, my feelings in my body, my ideologies that I might practice or live from, depending on my faith. Like, there had to be something more. And I'll share with you, I wrote a poem after reading a piece by Rumi. Many of you are familiar with Rumi's writings in our community. A Muslim Sufi prophet. I love that word anyway. Yeah, I'll give him that, in case anybody hasn't yet. Rumi, he said that, "I have shown you a few signs, and now learn the rest yourself. Accomplish the journey beyond yourself, and reach God." This was enticing. I'll put the poem up here for you to read along if that's what you prefer, or just enjoy and I'll read to you if you prefer. I call this Beyond. I said, reaching beyond myself to ponder myself and see that I myself is within I yourself. And by myself, I am trapped inside a self that exists only for some sense of self, without which there exists no self to be selfish with. So I reach beyond myself to ponder myself and hear a yonder call from a self inside myself. And I wander no longer as self, but rush to this lush voice whose choice I'd been longing, but not feeling belonging in self, spending time wronging myself. Now, reaching beyond the self to ponder the self, the idea itself becomes a force to reel all self within oneself, to once again love oneself. That's a lot of self. I understand. And yet this is part of the conundrum that I was facing, because all these ideas of self, you know, what is it? What is this thing that's truly me? Like, I've got to hunt more. I've got to go beyond this limitation that I think I have. I've got to go beyond what type of personality I might put on. And it can be very confusing. I know many of you true students, like myself, as you've been reading, like the first quote with Rumi, or the Bible, or the Bhagavad Gita, or whatever source you may have been picking up, there's a lot of little nuance to how they teach truth. There's lots of perspective that gets given, and often it's easy to look to these books for the answers and forget that they're just a guide. They're all just a guide, because the truth is here. It's never going to be here, even if this represents someone's truth. And like these poems and our beloved Stephen Dunn, I've seen you, I got to enjoy your poetry reading before and see how, as a poet, how close, how very, very close we get to expressing how it really feels, how the truth really is resonating from the heart. It's not always exact, but we try, right? We try to get as close as we can. And your perspective and your perspective on that close as I get, it's still going to be from your perspective. And that's going to resonate with you however it does. And so we have to keep doing our own work. Yay! Sea Week coming up, October. And again, I like the hard road sometimes. I'll affirm that. Forgive me. But I found that I kept bumping up next to this stuff. And Viktor Frankl, who's probably had a little tougher time than some of us in life, he said that when we are no longer able to change a situation, we're challenged to change ourselves. That can be comforting, can't it? When we've done all that we can do to, you know, get rid of that jerk I'm married to and go to the next one and the next one and the next one. And why is this same conversation happening? How is it that I married the same person again? Or dated the same, right? How is it that I'm back in the same employment, feeling bored with myself, or feeling too stressful, I can't take all of these requests of me, or whatever the story is? Why is it the same no matter what you change? Why is it that we can put on new costumes and pop a new song in and pop a new pill or whatever we're doing and feel different and turn around the next day? That's my life. Oh my God, it's the same crap I made yesterday. Because it's time for me to do my work. Now, our beloved country knew this from the very beginning. And I put this piece of the puzzle up because most of us, we kind of know the part of the story in the beginning of... don't be reading yet. Hold on, I clicked too soon. So, you know the part of the Declaration of Independence that says, we hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal. That's human, as James reminds us, verbiage of the time. Yes, yes. They meant human, too. They really weren't all, like, sexist pigs. They're great, great folks. You can read the rest of their journals and stuff. They're really nice guys. So... But this life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, like everybody kind of knows that part. And they're like, woo, USA, you know, I pledge it. I pledge my allegiance here because this is great stuff. But there's another, there's a lot. It goes on and on and on. So the very next sentence, we find ourselves here. What do we do with these rights? Because we need some safe space, right? So it says here that to secure these rights, we made government. I just wanted to drop that. We made government to secure our rights. So the governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whatever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute a new government. New one. This is our choice. And our founding fathers knew that, just like the founding father of unity, that we reserve the right to change our mind at any time. We're going to find out that we're growing, and we're going to need something different in the future. And we need to have security knowing that we have a safe space to explore that truth, to express that truth, and to secure the new expression of that truth. This is something that is going to happen forever, because we're constantly evolving onward and upwards all the time. So, when we find it's that time, like me, when I've bumped up against enough stuff that I couldn't change, and I had to change me, we go to Broussard. And he said, stop wasting time in playing a role or a concept. Instead, learn to actualize yourself, your potential. What is that? What is it, Bruce? What is it that you were harnessing to flip off the balcony? What is it that you were harnessing to smash through anything and at the same time to remain in a place of nonviolence? Because that's the dichotomy that's often missed when we're watching our favorite kung fu flick. Or if James was up here, he could do this, by the way. You guys don't know about your minister, but he could probably flip over and do some taekwondo madness up off the stage. He's got those skills. But this is the idea, is that it's time. Now, again, our co-founder, Charles Fillmore, he reminded us that it's in the quickening of spirit that we actualize ourselves. And here he's reminded, just like last week from James's talk, about life. Life is a divine idea. And its source is God, spirit. The river of life is within man in his spiritual consciousness. He comes into consciousness of the river of life through the quickening of spirit, through that actualizing of self, right? He can be truly quickened with new life and vitalized in mind and body only by consciously contacting spirit. Now, you've all chosen to do that today, I assume. I was with you down here, so... But during the meditation, and before that, during the prayer time, and before that, during the centering, we took a moment to consciously contact God. Whatever form that might take for you, whatever understanding or level of consciousness that you operate on that particular subject, you did it. You consciously contacted it. And so you quickened the spirit. It's like opening the valve for the water to flow at your faucet. It's really that easy. It's like, oh, let me center into my truth. Water flows. Water flows. It's the same here. When that spirit is quickened, when I find, maybe for instance, I'm up against one of those things that I think I should change, and I'm realizing like, ooh, it's me. It's me. It's my turn. Okay, I can face that. What do I do? At that very moment, quicken the spirit. How best to remind you of that? You've all got your own way. Here at Unity, often we invite people just to take a breath. Just focus on the breath, just a moment. Because when we realize that that ever-flowing life is a divine idea, that ever-flowing life is unchanging. It's absolute. It's eternal. So all of our fluctuations and our madness that maybe these guys sometimes produce for us, they can find their way to the side or in their appropriate place. Now, for those of you who didn't join us a few months ago for this particular movie night or haven't seen it, this is from a movie called Inside Out. These little cartoon characters are a representation of our emotions, the basic core beliefs and things that we produce as human beings. And as you see, joy stands in the center of it all. I'll introduce all of our friends, though. In red, we have anger. In green, we have disgust. Ugh. Joy, again, and one of many of you's favorite is fear. Yes, he's going to have everything you could possibly worry about today. He's going to have it all lined up and ready for you to take a look at. And then one of my dear favorites is sadness. I was reminded earlier of my friend Eeyore. No bother. You know, it's always just going to be this way. It's a sad time. You know. But these emotions are fluctuations. They just cannot be the truth of us. Because emotions are not a divine idea. like life. Life is a divine idea because it is everlasting and eternal. You guys know, you have a quick reference for whether something's true or not, right? Like, will it go on forever? If yes, it's divine. If no, it's just a feeling. Thank you, baby. Mwah. Right on cue. So one of our senior teachers at Unity Village, Mr. Robert Brommett, Reverend Robert Brommett, he wrote an absolutely amazing guidebook called Living Originally. Recommend it to everybody twice. He says in it, living originally means living from the inside out, from center to circumference, to live authentically, to not be defined by culture or environment, to be truly oneself. Now, that takes a little going beyond the emotions, which is where our practice comes in. I'm sorry, everybody, I have to inform you in case you didn't know, we kind of have to meditate. In whatever form, though, that you feel you resonate to at the moment. It doesn't have to be like a monk sitting in lotus in the silence for the next 30 years. Like, you don't have to go there. You can. And it'll probably be good work for everybody to do that sometime and experience that solitude. But that's not necessarily the point. The point is to quicken the spirit. Because we don't have to do the entire evolution of mankind today. We have to just rise above circumstance. We have to rise the truth of our being from center out to the circumference, out to what we see in our life. Because whatever the circumstances are in this circumference is what we've manifest. It's what we've held in mind. It's what we've locked into our consciousness. So that's really the only thing we need to worry about. I know, especially when I throw the red, white, and blue up there, half of the minds in the room go to everybody's business. And where they're voting and whether they agree with this guy or that guy or whatever, I understand it's a trigger point. But even in those, especially in those situations, coming from center to circumference is what we want. Because most often what we find if we're battling between red and blue, or whatever, black and white, or whatever colors we want to battle about, everybody is wanting something good. Everybody, in general, wants the same thing. They want their peace, or they want their security, or they all want the same thing. And so if we remember to come from center, then we don't get caught up so much on fighting to uphold these boundaries of our circumference. Because we're bringing that light of divinity out to it instead of expecting something else out there to change so that we can feel divine. And that's the rub. We have to bring it from the inside out. This was a moment that I had a great opportunity to support somebody in that authentic vision. When I met my beloved Miss Courtney Ram, she was birthing not the baby at that point. We didn't definitely know each other that well. But she was birthing her nonprofit company, Ram Dance. And she had this amazing, beautiful expression carrying on this ancient lineage of freedom and expression from the roots of modern dance itself. And she said, you know what? I have this vision in mind. She's living in New York City. Takes off on her own, moves to Hawaii to start this company and to follow this vision that she knew was her truth, her real, most authentic thing that she could bring to the world. You know what kind of resources she had waiting on her in Hawaii? Yep, that much, nothing. Not anything besides herself. She didn't have an investor or a board or a dance troupe. That's always nice when you're starting a dance company is to have dancers, right? None of it, but she had the vision and the truth, and she came and presented at a nonprofit that I was, a spiritual community that I was on the board for. And when I heard her speak, and I looked in her eyes, it was unmistakable. Like, unmistakable that she was not coming from some facade. She was not coming from some egoic idea of herself and what her parents thought she should do with her life or whatever, even though her parents thought she should be a dancer. It was her own. She had owned it. And so here you might see me trailing behind as I was catching up with her, surrounded by the beautiful mountains on an outdoor stage, just in the lush greenery of Hawaii. I got to perform my first dance with her in the company. And unforgettable, unforgettable. Even the songs and the movements and everything coming from center to circumference, coming from an authentic place of expression, because there's no words in dance, right? You have to express it in such a way that the people watching, between the music and the movement and the expression, you know what those people are feeling. And you feel it in your body too, because that's how truth transforms. When it's that powerful and it's that authentic, all that junk of life has to conform. Just like when we played these gongs and it rippled those vibrations through your cells, they had to raise. They have no choice. They just have to. Jesus reminded us that the rock was our foundation for this. Thank you. The rock can look a lot of different ways. And as I was thinking earlier at 9 o'clock, that this is probably a little about like what the disciple Peter looked like. At least in my mind, this is the new disciple Peter. So the rock, we love you and we bless you. And Jesus reminded Peter, he says, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Well, what does that mean? Well, luckily here at Unity, we look at these things metaphysically, and we can comb through the layers of it. It can mean a lot of different things depending on where we're at in our story. When we go to the original Greek text on this subject, it says, "Thou art Petros, and upon this Petra." Those are the masculine and feminine terms of rock. So not just rock, but maybe like rock? Maybe that's a little extreme. Okay, I'm glad he's not rushing down the aisle to tackle me off the stage. But sometimes this is how extreme we get. You know, we get into these identity crises. We don't know. Like, I'm reading a lot lately about people that aren't sure whether they're actually a man or a woman at all, no matter what they were born as. I don't know about that experience because I feel pretty confident about my place. I also find place for my feminine and masculine to express. My beautiful little girl Serenity calls me Fommy, because I'm a father mommy. I'm one that can be strong and consistent and these kinds of things, but I'm also nurturing and caring and loving. And it really like just melts my heart when she reminds me of that, because that's my goal in life, is to be balanced. I'm not sure if that expresses it, but right? I don't know if that's my goal, but being imbalanced is my goal, because I don't know what it's going to take tomorrow. Tomorrow, I'm going to show up with the circumstances that I've created and with you all there in support, and we're going to go from there, because we're going onwards and upwards every day. So it's going to take new stuff every day, too. We're going to have to bring out better and brighter of ourselves every day. And that's our invitation. Our invitation is to find that peace within. And in closing, there's a blessed gift that Jesus spoke in the Essene Gospel of Peace. And I'll have a visual here for you to remember what you have received today. Because as Jesus was parting, I hope to maybe be able to share a little bit of what he did with the people as he was closing here. And he said, as he left, his peace descended upon them. And in their heart was an angel of love. And in their head was the wisdom of law, these universal truths, this unchanging idea and in their hands the power of rebirth. The power in your hands right now to take any circumstance and use that angel of love and this wisdom of eternal truth and to put it in your hands, to shine it forth into the world. And they went forth among the sons of men to bring the peace of light to those that warred in darkness. And they parted, wishing one to another, peace be with you. And to you, peace be with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you.
I think he's going to make a pretty good intern. What do you guys think? Pretty good minister? Wonderful.
Yeah, that was very inspiring and very thought-provoking, Eric. We appreciate that.
Yes. So now's the time we would like to welcome anybody who's here for the first time. We promise we won't bite. We just have a wonderful little welcome packet we want to give you. So if this is your first time here, just give a little hands up. Get one down here. Oh,